Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come, take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life. Not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise. I don't need pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise. Well, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each spangle? Why not try to see life from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out loud, I am what I am. I am what I am. And what I am needs no excuses. I steal my own deck. Sometimes the eight, sometimes the deuces. There's one life, and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life, not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I
like you know me. I live in the world of green. Too bad I'm painting the dream. But if you really know me, this spark faded out in a flash. I'm here cause I'm getting it.
I'm gonna turn the tide. I'm gonna live my life the way I want. The way I want.
Come on, gone, but now, oh my.
that I knew me. But now I can see it so clear. I'm stronger than all the fear. Sun shining on me. It feels like I'm walking on air. Finally, I do declare.
Back, guys and gals, I'm so excited today to have my first and only guest on today as we get ready to slide into the 4th of July holiday tomorrow. She's the very first queen from Indiana to be a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race, but she's far from a newcomer to the scene, having won the title of Miss Gay Indiana just 2 short years ago as one of its youngest contestants ever. She is currently a top 20 new artist on the elite music platform Vevo. And her hot new single we just played, Now or Never, has amassed over 1.7 million views on YouTube. Her album, Call My Life, just came out a few days ago, and the title track is already getting view after view. Please welcome to the show for the first time, I do declare, it's the fabulous Blair St. Clair. Blair, how you doing today?
Hey, I am doing so well, Scott. Thank you so much for having me on the show today. You know, we are so excited that 4th of July is tomorrow. So I'm wrapping up some things that we're doing. We actually just finished my album launch party for Call My Life today in Chicago. So I'm so excited to be here, so excited to be talking with you about the album, about everything, you know, Drag Race related. And this is such a pleasure.
I'm so happy to have you on. Congratulations to you and welcome. I mean, you are on tour with Trains, Planes, Automobiles, my friend, just going through crazy time for the foreseeable future. So I appreciate you calling in. How are you holding up with all this excitement that's going on in the long hours?
Thank you. Yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is the perfect description of everything the drag race ride might entail. You know, they call it drag race for a reason, but the race really isn't during the filming process of filming RuPaul's Drag Race. The race truly begins after the craziness of filming ends and what you decide to do with your career afterward. And life has been crazy. It has been fast. It has been slow. It has been up. It has been down. And I think I'm finally getting a little bit of hang of what's going on. And it's just been, it's been wonderful. It's been great.
That's awesome. Well, you're doing so well. It's so great on being on season 10 in the first place. You were always one of the best dressed on the show, but I got to tell you that polka dot dress, the finale last week, you were on point, my friend, looking good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was actually designed by Project Runway own Mondo Guerra. He actually was the winner of All Stars from the show, and I knew that I really have a love of his designs. He created that masterpiece for me, and I was so excited to show the world my growth, everything that's kind of come up from the filming of the show that the people have seen on TV and the audience has watched to now, you know, living in June and now into July of, you know, what my brand and what Blair St. Clair and who she is today. So I was so excited to show everything that I've been up to, you know, and that whole dress was just to top it off.
That is awesome. The crossbreeding of my two favorite reality shows, Drag Race and Project Runway. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about Drag Race, of course, and the fantastic new album in just a bit. But let's do a little backstory for my listeners since it's the first time here. Do me a favor and talk a little bit about growing up in Indianapolis, Indiana. I record here out of Northeast Ohio, so we are next door neighbors, kind of. What is the gay scene like there, and when did you come out to yourself?
Well, we are practically sisters, you know, you being in Ohio. Indianapolis is such a liberal city itself. And, you know, people look at Indiana on the map as a very conservative state, being in the Midwest. And me being a Midwesterner and small-town kid kind of vibe, even though Indianapolis itself isn't really a small city. It's one of the largest cities in the United States. And so me growing up in Indianapolis, I was very, very lucky to have already – I came out at the age of 15, and so I had a really nice coming out story with very loving and supportive parents. I actually don't really describe myself as coming out. I feel like my parents asked me if I was gay. It was kind of one day after school, they were talking to me and asking me, hey, how are you? What's school like? How are your grades? Do you like boys? It really caught me off guard, and my coming out story in the city of Indianapolis was very loving and very supportive.
Wow, I love that. Now, talk about your parents a sec. I understand there wasn't really a big reveal about being a drag queen. It kind of was a slow, natural transition for them. Talk about that and how your mom actually helped you pick your drag name.
Yes, me becoming a drag queen and finding my career was just kind of slid by my parents. It wasn't something that I just revealed to them one day or told them or had a big coming out, you know, being gay and then as well being a drag queen. I have been in theater my entire life. And I've been performing on stage for as long as I can remember. I've always been a performer. I've always been wanting to entertain my audiences. And I was cast in a musical after high school called La Cage aux Folles. And that is a musical centered around the art of illusion. And, you know, I Am What I Am is the title song from the show. It's all about acceptance and love. And I was cast as one of the Cajels, which is one of the drag queens of the show. And I had already decided in life at this point in time that fulfilling a career of musical theater and that major in college just wasn't going to work for me. I look really young for my age, and I knew that I love performing, but that, you know, performing for the rest of my life on stage and theater might not be the best career suited for me. So I kind of took some time away from college and went to school for cosmetology, and I was doing this production of La Cage aux Folles, and I just fell in love with drag. I knew that performance, hair, makeup, dancing, singing, everything put together was exactly what I wanted to do. So I kind of continued to do more of that in the Indianapolis community. They were very accepting to the new Blair in the community, but my name wasn't Blair, you know, originally. It wasn't just, didn't just become. I had told my mom that I was, you know, in the show and I loved doing what I was doing and I wanted to be a little bit more cultured in drag and what it was all about. And I told her, I was like, Mom, I need a drag name. And she didn't really understand what that means, but we started coming up with ideas together of names and what names we thought were fun and cute. And I wanted a name that was simple, it was cute, it was sweet, it was also fierce, it was hot, you know, it had every little edge. At the time, I really liked the show Gossip Girls, and I loved the name Blair Waldorf from the show. And I said, Mom, that name is great. It's short, it's quick, it's sweet, it's hot, it's spicy, it's everything you need in a little name. And so we decided that Blair was a great name, but we just finished at Blair. And my mom called me one day. I'm actually on the treadmill. I'm working out. And I finally answer the phone after she calls me a few times. And I ask her, I answer the phone, like, Mom, what is it? Are you okay? Like, what's going on? I'm like, working out. And she says, I just passed St. Clair Street in downtown Indianapolis. And I was like, okay, Mom, are you okay? And she said, no. St. Clair, it rhymes with Blair. She said, how great does that sound? And I was like, oh, my gosh, it just came to be at that point in time. Blair St. Clair just had to be the name. So ever since then, I've been known as Blair St. Clair.
That is awesome. Go Mom. I love that. That is so cool.
Go Mom.
Now talk about, are you still a small town boy that you just like to do all this traveling that's coming for you now, or do you want to move to a bigger city to have kind of a more populous home base?
Well, you know, I tell people that I was a small town girl with big dreams, and recently I've become a bigger city girl with even bigger dreams, because with the publicity of the show and being able to travel more and having so much more opportunity, I've actually relocated to the city of Washington, D.C., which is a little bit more central. It's a little bit closer to New York City. It's a little closer to Los Angeles, which I feel like I live in both cities most of the time because I'm always bopping back and forth between the two. And it was just a larger city that offered me a little bit more opportunity when I was home for some more work as well. So now I'm a big city girl.
Congratulations. That is awesome. You really are going to be taking trains and planes now. That's for darn sure. How fun is that?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, talk about being Drew for a second. How do you keep your identity with all this newfound popularity that's come from Drag Race? And, of course, you've been so popular before in this song. Tell me what kind of a person Drew is and how you kind of keep yourself separate to enjoy your own personal life.
Well, that is a great question because unlike other TV personalities, I do have two identities. First and foremost, I am Drew, and I create this illusion of Blair St. Clair, and I love doing that, and that is my career, and that is something that I have been able to create for myself to tap into a character to portray. And it's very important to me to keep both of those things very separated for me in my personal life. So I like to schedule time off. I schedule some time just for me. Whether it's a date night with my boyfriend, whether it's time spent with my family, whether it's just time watching a movie or spent time by the pool, I need personal balance in my life today, and I recognize that I need that balance just to focus on me and doing what normal, quote-unquote normal, very loosely, 23-year-old things are to do in the world. And I need to keep that balance and keep myself grounded because if I don't, I don't want to get consumed with the nightlife or consumed with, you know, my career, my job. And that can become really, really scary at times when you're just working all the time. And I know for myself that I will burn out. I will burn out and I will not love what I do anymore if I'm just fully doing it all the time and not scheduling those little breaks.
Wow, that's fantastic. I really like to hear that because it is important to know who you are and not get caught up in the character. So congratulations, man. That's fantastic to hear. I love that.
Thank you. I think it's really important just to keep those.
Agreed. Let's jump into Drag Race here a little bit. So excited for this last season. I thought it was one of the better seasons. Let's talk about a couple of the hard topics first. I mean, you were basically outed for being on the show when you couldn't even talk about it because of a DUI you received. Talk about how hard that was to first address since you were you're already a legal age person who made a mistake, but now you're in this news black hole with Drag Race happening. Talk about how it affected you and your outlook on alcohol briefly, if you could.
Yeah, I would actually love to talk about that. So something that happened to me, I was cast on RuPaul's Drag Race and I was brought to film the show in the early fall of 2017. Early new year of 2017, 6 months prior to even being cast on the show, I was arrested for a DUI. And it was something that, at that point in time, I knew it was a problem, I knew it was a mistake, I knew it was something wrong, and it was something that I needed to correct. However, I didn't understand the full severity of that problem until actually after filming Drag Race. So after filming Drag Race, I, you know, had worked out my, you know, legalities, had done everything that I needed to do on my end, had filmed the show, came back home, and there were a bunch of nasty rumors that were spread about me and things I couldn't even legally talk about because, one, I couldn't actually confirm or deny that I was on the television show under contract until they had the annual cast reveal, revealing, you know, that we were announcing who was on TV. And at that point in time, I had to, first and foremost, just be quiet about that. But I also had to be quiet about my own personal life and my struggles as well, because at that point in time, I realized that for the first time, seeing myself broadcast on especially TMZ's website, and my mugshot and talking about my DUI, I recognized, oh my goodness, you know, this mistake is a mistake. You know, and it was something very crazy that happened to me and very traumatic. But I also realized for the first time that I might not be a usual drinker like most other people. And it was the first time that was very eye-opening to me to recognize, you know what, maybe for not only just for my career to better myself, but my personal life. And, you know, this is, again, with keeping myself and my career separate, maybe I should look into this and see if I have more of a problem than just making a one-night mistake. And, you know, everyone's story is different. Everyone's life is different. And I recognize for myself that drinking for me, A, was just going to get in the way of my career and any success that I wanted to create and anything that I wanted to do with my life. But B, also for myself and for Drew, was a lot larger of a problem than I actually initially was able to swallow, pun intended. And
sure.
I recognized that I needed to get some help. And so at the time that, those articles were released and people were talking about my DUI and my drinking use, I was very frustrated. I was very hurt. And hearing those things were not easy for me to really comprehend. However, today in my life, I am thankful, actually, and most people don't believe, I'm thankful that those things were revealed about me and those things were talked about, because those were, unfortunately, the stepping stones I needed to understand that I needed to live a life of sobriety. And I learned a lot of life lessons along the way that have helped create the man that I am, and also that help portray the character that I have been creating.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations on conquering that. It's something that we all have to struggle with. We all have our personal demons that follow us throughout. And, I mean, you're 21 years old. It's going to happen. I mean, glad it happened young. I'm glad you were able to address it. And it sounds like you were really able to kind of do a lot of self-reflection, and that's fantastic. Let's move on to the second thought. I mean, you so bravely opened up about your sexual assault on Drag Race, and I just it's incredible to be able to talk about a story like that. Talk about the courage that it took to address it and what made you think it was important to bring up in that setting.
Well, thank you. That's something that is obviously talking about any kind of personal trauma is, again, traumatic, reliving that experience by talking about it. But I have also realized today that it is very important as a political figure, a public figure, and as someone who has a platform, it's important to make change today and to talk about anything, no matter how frustrating or traumatic that experience may be. So while filming Drag Race, we were on the main stage, and RuPaul was asking me about some questions that did bring up this topic, and it wasn't something that was just expelled randomly. It wasn't something that I just wanted to open up and share. I didn't have like a epiphany that I just felt the need to bring up. You know, RuPaul had asked, why do you, because
right.
I had mentioned something about having dark moments in my life, and he said, what dark moments exactly are you talking about? What are you speaking of? And I said, you know, just some very personal moments that have made me love and really embrace prettier or finer things in life or sweeter things that make me forget some negative baggage that I have. And he really kind of asked me another question, and I kind of opened up at that moment talking about how I had originally been sexually assaulted before in my life, and how that has in turn really developed into a need for seeking lighter things and positivity and sweetness. And at that point in time on the main stage, when I did reveal that, when I opened up about that, I had not talked to anyone about it in my life, and I didn't necessarily feel a need to talk. I explained before an interview, and I think that this is the best wording that I can describe, is that there are times in your life that your heart knows when you're ready to speak on something before your mind truly is aware that you're ready. And I think in that moment, my heart was just so ready, and it was just so full and needed to speak out, and it was just yearning to talk before my brain had really clicked and knew that that was whether the right time or not the right time, but my brain really knew that's what I wanted to do. And so that, I think it's, you know, I think back now, I was very nervous for that to come out on TV because it's very personal. It's very deep. It is
sure.
A secret I've been holding. It's something that I felt was something that was making me an individual. And it was not, that does not define me today. I define who I am. And that is a marker in my life that has made me a better human being. And it is mine. Now, it's very courageous to talk about anything so deep like that. And today I've recognized that for my own healing, the first step in healing is admitting something that happened to yourself or admitting something that you are and being able to start that healing process. And for my own healing and my own gain, it was great for me to be able to experience that and to explain that on national television. And it's been so rewarding hearing so many people saying that they've been able to relate to my story as well.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share that a little bit for us. I know it's very hard to go through personally, and I really appreciate you speaking out on both the issues. Do you think it's something you're going to bring these two incidents to the platform that you now have, or is it still a little too hard and too fresh to talk about? Have you thought about that consciously yet?
You know, to begin with, it was very difficult to talk about and talk about quite regularly. But now that I have talked about it so much more, I've been in my own healing group of, you know, having my own ways of being able to deal with my own insecurities and problems. it has actually been very therapeutic for me to help others and know that I'm helping others by speaking out on my specific issue and things that have happened to me and my story, and to share my story has been important with me. And it also was the triggering point that initiated me to begin releasing music. My new album, Call My Life, has actually been an incredible piece of my own journey that's been able to help me heal and been able to help me express myself. And every track on the album is actually something about my own growing, my own growth, my own spiritual growth, and my own journey in life. And so it's actually been very therapeutic, and I'm very grateful today that I have that sense of therapy in community.
That's fantastic. I can't wait to talk about this album in just a couple of seconds. Now, talk about walking into that workroom for the very first time. What was that experience like? What were you feeling? And just give my listeners a real quick glimpse of walking in there for the first time.
So when you're walking into the workroom, quote-unquote room, it's not a room. There are four walls with no ceiling because you forget that it's a set. You forget that it's television. So I walked into this workroom for the first time totally nervous, and it was nothing like I expected. It was better than I expected, but completely crazy to me. It was very foreign, and I was almost in shock. And it took me a full day to really warm up to the whole workroom and to really warm up to the whole idea that this was not actually a room. We were actually on camera the entire time, and I completely forgot that that's what I was signing up to do.
Right. That's funny. Now, you did some fantastic work throughout the show there, but talk about, you were the ninth surviving queen there, and they kind of have a little lore now about the ninth queen curse going home, being eliminated before their time because you're so popular with the fans. What did that feel like when the elimination came, and how did you react to it personally?
Oh, my goodness. It's hard to explain exactly what's going through your mind at that point in time when RuPaul says that it's time for you to lip sync for your life, because it truly feels like that. You've worked so hard in your career and building your status and building up who you are to be able to get to the point of being cast on RuPaul's Drag Race to begin with. And then you're thrown into with 13 other people that are also cast and have also worked this hard to be at the same level and same experiencing the same things that you are. And so getting there, it's hard because you really are, it's like Survivor. You're trying to find the most fit drag queen of them all to get to the very end and the finish line. And in that moment of lip syncing, you know that all the hard work you've worked for is really waiting on that moment. And it's terrifying. It's crazy. But it's also exhilarating, too.
Right. Now, you were sent home by Vixen, who obviously garnered some strong feelings on the show. What was yours on her, and who did you really bond with in the experience on Drag Race?
Oddly enough, before a lot, but you know, what the show doesn't necessarily portray is that I was really, really good friends with the Vixen and Miss Cracker. The three of us had kind of created a trio of friendship. And it was interesting that the episode I went home on, the episode I was eliminated on, was the episode that I was with my two best friends of the show.
Oh, that's so ironically sad.
It is ironic, but I tell people that the day I stopped having fun on set was the day I truly went home. And it was because we as friends wanted to be the best we could possibly be, and we forgot to just enjoy it and have fun and be our normally friendly selves. So we thought in our minds, oh, we have this covered because we're friends, but truly you don't really have it covered unless you're enjoying it, because we were just so thought out, and we forgot to just enjoy it that day.
Gotcha. Well, let's wrap up the entire experience. Talk about your experience. What brought you new understanding that this is actually a profession and your profession? What did you learn about yourself as a profession, and what kind of pitfalls did it bring to your attention?
Well, I definitely learned that Blair St. Clair now is a business, and it's no longer a hobby, something fun to do, or an escape, or artistic freedom just for fun. It is those things. It is artistic freedom, and it is fun, and it is what I love and I'm the most passionate about. However, there are business moves that I need to make today that are a little bit more difficult than I ever thought possible. I now own my own business at 23 years old, with being in charge of everything that, you know, comes my way, making sure that social media is set up in certain ways to bring more content. You know, I need to bring more content to the internet because people are always seeking more content. They're always wanting more and trying to deliver that, you know, setting things up to be able, now setting up, you know, in charge of my own store that sells my own merchandise, I'm now in charge of my own album that I co-wrote and, you know, sang, and now I'm touring with on the road. And, you know, you're setting up each little piece of your life as its business. And that I had to learn the hard way, each step of the way. And that I'm very thankful for, too.
Well, that is awesome. Well, we enjoyed watching you every second on there. Like I said, you stunned on the finale last week. But let's get ready to talk about this new album. We're going to start with playing the title track. This is Calm My Life by Blair St. Clair. You're listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be right back in just a couple seconds here on Blog Talk Radio.
Every day is a busy tone, and I hear it, 'cause it's calling by your voice unknown. Gotta filter, it's all for show, you believe it, but you never really know, I know. And you're never gonna see every part of me, but I make you believe that I can make you mine. But I'm sick of this game, put it on my brain, gonna do it my way, time, baby. Call my life, here I am, I've been waiting for you. Call my life, take a chance, 'cause I know with my mind inside, I've been craving for something real, and it's all here. When I think I lose, I find I hide. And you're never gonna see every part of me, but I make you believe that I can make you mine. But I'm sick of this game, put it on my brain, gonna do it my way, time, baby. Call my life, here I am, I've been waiting for you. Call my life, take a chance, 'cause I know you're real too.
Back, guys, you're just listening to the title track of my special guest today, Blair St. Clair from RuPaul Drag Race Season 10, and just a fantastic performer. Blair, congratulations on this new album. Dropped a couple of days, doing so good. You have a launch party, you said, tomorrow?
Thank you. Yes, actually, launch party today in Chicago. So tonight at Roscoe's Tavern, if you're in the Chicago area, most definitely come out, check us out. We are premiering the whole album if you haven't already heard it. We're debuting it. We're celebrating it. It's been an absolutely amazing time putting the whole album together, and it's been important for me to include everyone in the album because we're celebrating everyone's hard work.
That is terrific. There are 7 tracks on the album, and you said you co-wrote them. Talk about that. I heard you kind of talk about before. These are like little pieces of your journey, and they're almost like little personal bits of your story along the way. Talk about how developing these songs came about.
Yes, we sat down, me and my songwriter together, and we talked about, in large discussion, what has life been like recently, and what has the change of life brought to me, and what is it? What do I want to bring to attention to others and to my audience, and what do I want to talk about? And so we sat down and we talked about a couple different points that were just really important and really spoke to me, and we then created titles from those points that just seemed really important or really special moments that I wanted to share. And then we thought about concept for each of those songs and how we could best write them. And instead of doing them too seriously, we wanted to find the best way to write them, to make them dancey and fun and energetic and just entertain my audience. Because a lot of people, you know, they want to be entertained, but it was important to me to have something that's entertaining and fun and energetic and dancey, but also have meaning to it too, and substance and depth.
Right, right. That's awesome. Now talk about, you understand the RuPaul phenomenon a bit, but then you go into your music career, which I'm sure might seem like a separate hat to you, but your first single, Now or Never, gets released a couple months ago. Already quickly wraps up 1.7 million views. How is that to take in? And talk to me about making that first video.
Oh, my gosh. The whole idea and premise behind making that video and in the song itself was just about doing something more for me. That whole song actually came from my heart, and it was about my personal journey, and it was more written just for my own pleasure of sharing about how I wanted to talk about life is for the taking, and it's what you make of it. Whether you're eliminated from a reality television show, whether you go and perform on TV, whether you perform in your basement, whether you are going through trials or tribulations or traumas in your life, whatever might be going on in life to you right now, it's now or never for the taking, and it's your choice to turn your life to the most positive life that you choose. And your life, everything you live today, everything you lead today is up to you. Your happiness is up to you, and it's your choice to do it now or never. And it was really special for me to be able to write that and to kind of remind myself of that. It was to remind myself of it's now or never, you know, and I loved writing that and being able to perform that and recording that. And it's just been a huge phenomenon, and I'm so appreciative and so thankful that it's been received so well.
That is fantastic. I'm sure you can't stop smiling when you're singing, especially those personal anthems like that. That's got to be just so freeing and fulfilling and just make you want to sing. That's got to be amazing. I love that.
Absolutely. And it was just received so well, especially being the first track I released. And that's when we really knew, okay, cool, this is the step I need to take. Because it was more like an experiment to see, okay, are people going to like this genre of music? Are people going to like my voice? Are people going to like this message? Is it going to be too deep for people to really take in? And it was received so well, so I knew that was exactly what I needed to hear to be able to write this album with Call My Life.
Talk about the transition. I mean, you were known as the Broadway baby back in Indianapolis, of course. So you have all this live experience, performing live, and then you get this experience on Drag Race, which, of course, as we all know, television takes 10,000 years with 10,000 takes and 10,000 cameras. Did that really help prepare you for the music business, where the same thing is for music videos? You have to take cut after cut and lip sync after lip sync. What kind of a preparation was Drag Race to becoming now a music star?
So Drag Race itself, I think, prepared me for the world of what showbiz is. And I definitely consider myself a Broadway baby coming from a small town scene of drag, and I loved being theatrical. I think that's the key word that I like to use. I don't perform as much Broadway today because I know that a lot of my audience really loves a large array of genres that are performed. So I make sure that everything is theatrical.
Right.
My music videos are really special to me because they tell a story. Every one of them has a storyline to them. Every one of them is intended to make the audience feel some sort of emotion, to evoke emotion. And that's what theater is all about, evoking emotion. and to tell that storyline. So that's what my music videos have been for me through my songs. And I think that RuPaul's Drag Race definitely helped create that realization of myself by being in this crazy business of lights, camera, action all the time.
Gotcha. And talk about the set pieces. I mean, the Call My Life video, God, some of the most gorgeous sets I've ever seen. Are you a part of that and picking those out? Do they run those by you first? Or tell me about that. I mean, that was just beautifully visually shot video.
Thank you. I try to remind everyone, especially my Drag Race sisters on season 10, that at the end of the day, no matter who is working for us and with us and helping shepherd our careers, at the end of the day, we are the boss of our own careers. We are the face of what we do every day. So I have many, many people that work with me, but inevitably we work together in a whole unit to create something. So the idea behind Call My Life, the idea of the song was my idea. The idea of the video was my idea and my vision. Now I had other people help me create that idea. Of course, so many people are involved in creating the final works of everything that's put together. But initially, the whole story concept, the whole idea of the song, the whole moral of the story, everything all stemmed from my initial vision. And it's very important for me to stay involved in that to make sure that that vision doesn't get lost.
And what is your, do you think the next single will be? Is there anything that you really would like to see put out from the album?
Are you talking about what's already currently on the album right now or what I like
to
make
create? Do you have any more music videos planned for the current album, or then we'll talk about future projects in a second. But all these tracks are so good.
We actually, yes.
The album the other day, I just picked it up. But what would
yes.
you like
so
to see as the next,
it looks as
if you could do a video?
It looks as if this album is almost going into a bit of a visual album direction, because there aren't too many tracks on the album, but it is still full enough with the meat and potatoes of a full core album. So we have on the album track, we already have two of them with videos, so we are scheduling another video right now, but I don't want to make a video just to make a video. I want there to be a purpose behind it. I need there to be a storyline, and there are stories for all of these songs that are really important, so we're deciding what is the next most important story to be told, and I'm actually asking the viewers right now in the audience, what song do they most relate to? What song and what video do they want to see? I'm sorry, what song do they want to see a video for next? And so if you're watching, if you're listening right now, please tweet us. Tell us what song you most relate to, what you really, really want, what you're hearing, and what video you want to see next.
That's amazing. Go do it, listeners. And you have that, what you have, America's Sweetheart with Alaska on it. So that would be kind of fun to see the two of you collab. There's such great pieces there on that album. I'm just so looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we have an array of different things. We have what kind of like an up-tempo ballad. We have a much lower ballad in tempo. We also have a duet with Alaska Thunderfuck, which she's amazing and she's incredible. So that would be something really, really fun for the drag fans that are really, really core Drag Race fans. We also have an amazing song called Irresistible, which is just really, really, really fun. It's a club beat. So that could be amazing too. And I think what's really important right now is creating a video that – just the same amount of quality the other videos that I've produced have, but also tell that best story. So if you have your own personal opinion, your own personal idea, please reach out to us, comment, tweet, do whatever you do on the internet and let us know what you want.
Amazing. And like you said, you're jumping out on the road again. You're in Chicago now. You have Salt Lake City coming up, Portland, Oregon, one of my favorite cities, San Francisco, Louisville. Talk about this tour and what really excites you to go bring your music to all these venues.
You know, I am so excited to meet every different person I meet in my audience. I'm so excited to just entertain my audience. I still put on makeup every time I perform, and I get excited to put that makeup on. This is a job for me, but first and foremost, but second of all, it is my passion. And if you're in the area in Los Angeles on Friday at Precinct, we're also having another bit of an album debut party as well this coming Friday. And then I'm going, you know, finishing my tour for the weekend in Salt Lake City on Saturday. And every performance is the same to me. It's 110%. The makeup is 110%. The performance is 110%. The whole entire interaction with my audience, every meet and greet, everything is very special to me. So I'm really, really excited to continue spreading my message and my love, my creativity, my passion with inevitably the world, you know, one venue at a time.
That is awesome. Well, I'm taking my show on the road. I get out of the doldrums of Northeast Ohio and I'm taking it to Palm Springs, California for the month of August on my big gay road trip. I'm going to be doing live shows from Palm Springs every Monday and Tuesday in August. So I'm going to try to sneak away on the 24th or 25th and catch you in Pomona, California, because that's just a short drive away. So I'm looking forward to seeing you then. And then we have the fantastic War on the Catwalk tour with all your fellow queens starting in September. You guys will be coming to my neck of the woods in Pittsburgh in September on the 18th. So hopefully we have a couple of chances to meet and greet each other. I get to thank you in person for the great message you're bringing of your personal story and this great music that you're bringing. I really want to thank you for being on the show today, Ms. Blair St. Clair.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's always amazing talking about, you know, what's up and coming and what's going on, because at the end of the day, we are the future. You know, everyone working today and making today a bigger and better place and just a more loving place is so important to me. So thank you for letting me be able to share a little bit of my light today with you. And if you're in a city that's going to be seeing me sometime soon, please feel free to say hi, reach out, say I love you, and I hope to meet as many people as I possibly can. And also don't forget to check out Call My Life on iTunes today. It's also available on Apple Music and Spotify. We currently just hit I've been number one on the iTunes dance charts for almost a week now. We're trying to keep that at a week, and it just recently hit number 24 in the world. So this album has been incredible. It's been doing so well, but it's been doing so well because of all of the amazing fans that have been out there supporting me. So I just want to thank them so much for supporting me. And, you know, support your local drag too, because that's what's really important, is why we're spreading our message and why I've had the opportunity to do what I do today.
So well said. Congratulations, and big woo-hoo on the number one there. Let everyone know they can find your tour schedule on your website. Give them your website address and where they can follow you on social media for me.
Yes, please check out BlairSt.Clair.com. And if you go to BlairSt.Clair.com/store, it'll take you directly to my store where I'm selling all my merchandise, which includes my new CDs, which are now available in print, if you would like a printed CD. And you can also check out anything else I do with all my social media handles at Blair St. Clair on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm always posting more content, always keeping things available. And you can check out YouTube, too, at Blair St. Clair Vivo.
Fantastic. Blair St. Clair, thank you so much for being a fantastic guest on the Left of Straight Show. Guys, we're going to play out today with my good buddy John Williams, and this is his cover on God Bless the USA as we get into a 4th of July tomorrow. I hope you all have safe and sane fireworks out there. Have some fun. Pick up the new album from Blair St. Clair. You're going to love every second of it. Blair, stay on the line for me. Guys, thanks for being here. You listen to the Left of Straight Show right here on Blog Talk Radio.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I worked for my life and I had the sun again, just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. The world.
darkest corner of my mind. I had locked the door afraid what I might find. The dusty memories that all but died. Until I found the strength to notice how it feels to cry. Have the carelessness to hide another day. You wanted to believe the joyful lie, but did you even stop to notice that the boy had died? The boy with the robot eyes. You think you understand me?
first answered, she said, "Hello, hold on, you'll be able to listen to the show." So I don't know what that means. Every once in a while there's a beep, but other than that, it's just a buzzing sound. Okay, well, this is Mark Schwamberger, and I'm sitting in my dressing room here at the Columbus Performing Arts Center, waiting to do our dress rehearsal for Veronica's Position by Rich Orloff. This is actually the third show we've done by Mr. Orloff, and this it's a comedy. It would be said a star-spangled comedy because it's set in the 1989-1990 Washington D.C. And it has to do with, it's actually very timely, because it also has to do with the government denying funding for the arts because of censorship. And I'm in the show with a number of great local talent, and we preview tomorrow, so tonight is our final dress rehearsal. Yes, at Evolution Theater Company, in 2011, we became a 501c3 nonprofit company, and so we rely on donations and grants a lot to fill the gap that we don't have from ticket sales. So, you know, we get grants from the city, state, and we are also looking for individual donations to help, you know, with the cost, because theater, as you know, is very expensive to do. And since we are a professional company, we also use equity actors and non-equity actors. Yes, next year one, and I haven't, and Scott, your listeners are getting a sneak preview because we haven't announced our 2019 season yet, but one of the shows we are doing in our 2019 season is a musical called The View Upstairs. It's a relatively new show by Max Bernon, and before Pulse, the largest mass killing of LGBTQ+ people occurred on Pride Day in 1973 in New Orleans at the Upstairs Lounge when someone set the place on fire. And so it's a very important part of LGBTQ+ history that is just getting the notoriety that it should. I understand that there was also there's an article in the New York Times about the incident, and Max Bernon wrote this play. We'll be one of the very few companies in the world to be doing this play. So I'm very excited about it, and I want people to get involved in it. I want them to get involved in it as seeing it, but also perhaps becoming a show sponsor to help us defray costs to put on the production, because it is a very important part of, like I said, our history. And unfortunately for us to grow as a community, we not only have to celebrate our victories, but we also have to remember the tragedies and get along with both the good and the bad in our history. Scott, can you hear me? Let me see. Okay, the Veronica, like I said, Veronica position begins. We go for preview starts on Wednesday, tomorrow, and we have preview on Wednesday and Thursday. Our official opening is on Friday, and we run until next weekend, Saturday the 28th. And it's at the Columbus Performing Arts Center down on Franklin Avenue. And you can always get tickets by going to our website, evolutiontheater.org. And the tickets range from $30 to $15, depending on if you're a student or a senior. And it's a very fun show. It's a very fun show. Like I said, it's a comedy. And it's very timely about, you know, Rich Orloff is very good in presenting important subjects in a comical way so that, but the message isn't lost in the comedy. In fact, the message becomes more poignant because it isn't, you're not beaten over the head with the, what he's trying to say. And it's really more effective the way he does it with his comedy. Okay, and our next show coming up is we're going to do the area premiere of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical. And this is, of course, a very interesting show. I mean, it's based on the movie, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So, you know, we're going to, in fact, start rehearsal for that this coming weekend. So we'll be rehearsing that as Veronica's position is playing. But that will be starting August 22nd. We have previews starting August 22nd, and then it runs until the end of August. And it's of course a very fun show. It's there, you know. It takes you to, as the tagline says, it takes you to a place of fabulousness, because there's a lot of singing, dancing, and of course wonderful feather bedecked costumes. So it's very fun. It'll be a very interesting show and a very good show to do. And it also has a message in the sense that everyone should be able to live their life and find happiness regardless of how they identify as, you know, transgender or gay, straight, whatever. So, you know, even though it's outrageous musical, it again has a very important message. Our website, and you can find out all the information about everything that Evolution does on our website, which is evolutiontheater.org. We do have a Facebook page. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. We're all over the place, and you can find out a lot of information about our past and future productions that we're doing. And it all has the information. You can also, also contact us for any questions or anything, but the website really has a lot of information that you would need. Thank you, Scott, and thank you for having me on the show. I have to run now to rehearsal so that we can have a fabulous opening preview and opening night for Veronica's position. Thank you very much, and have a good week. Talk to you later. Bye.